10 to 15 years, not so seriously. Used to do it out of my little boat, and now I got
yesterday by the United States Border Patrol, and we saw over 10,000 before the end of Title 42.
The new rules require asylum seekers to apply for asylum at U.S. processing centers in host countries before they try to cross into the United States. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Congressional staff have been meeting to try to reach an agreement to raise the country's debt limit. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo on CNN.
So the conversations are constructive between all of the parties. I know the president looks forward to getting together with the leaders to talk about how we continue to make progress.
President Biden is scheduled to meet again with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy this week. It's really hot in the Pacific Northwest and will stay that way through tomorrow. Portland Dr. Ann Loeffler says it's too early for this.
The temperatures we're looking at are not that high compared to what we've experienced, for example, last summer. But it's the middle of May. People's body are not yet acclimatized to this kind of temperature.
She says some of the symptoms of heat exhaustion to look out for include excessive sweating, increased body temperature, nausea, and dizziness. Polls are now closed in Turkey, where the increasingly authoritarian President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is facing his strongest challenge since he began leading the nation 20 years ago.
There's no tolerance for any sort of criticism right now. We're going through troubled times. I feel anxious because I could be arrested tomorrow.
I'm all for democracy and its principles. I'll respect whoever wins.
If no candidate wins a majority, there will be a runoff in 2 weeks. A ceasefire between Israel and the Islamic Jihad that went into effect late last night seems to be holding. More from the BBC's David Harper.
Israel's military has said it will partially reopen two crossing points into the territory, as well as a crucial fishing zone off the coast. The U.S. has welcomed the ceasefire and praised Cairo for brokering it.
What do you like about your mom? CBS's Stacey Lynn asked a few kids.
She's like a friend, but someone who always stay by you.
Well, she's nice, she's funny, she's very, very kind.
85-year-old Katie Castagnoli on Friday became the oldest graduate ever from Virginia Tech. She was awarded a bachelor's degree in music. She says she's going to finish her degree in Italian next. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Watts, your personal injury attorneys dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two American banks collapsed in the past week. As Eric Tegedoff reports, some consumers are considering alternatives like credit unions.
Troy Stang is head of the Go West Credit Union Association, which represents more than 300 credit unions in Oregon and five other states. He says tumult in the financial market historically generates interest in the local structure of credit unions.
Whether it was with the dot-com bust, whether it was with the activities that led up to the Great Recession, consumers at their kitchen tables started having these conversations more intentionally about who is it that we do our financial services with.
Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. To get depositors their money, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has stepped in. Stang notes that National Share Insurance Fund, administered by the National Credit Union Administration, is the equivalent regulator for his institutions and is paid for by the credit union system. Stang says credit unions are not-for-profit and member-owned.
We're not accountable to Wall Street investors. We're not accountable to other forces outside of our membership. And so it's a much different model.
Stang says many of the credit unions in his association have spent the last week reassuring customers and noting differences in their institution structure from others. He adds a strong financial system is important for consumers, regardless of which institution they bank with. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standard room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Cripes Cast. We've got Gilbert Brown, the legendary Green Bay Packer, Super Bowl 31 champion. One of the first Packers jerseys I had was his. So excited to have him on the show. And in the studio for this intro, I'm joined by Colleen Maraca, executive producer of the Cripes Cast. Colleen, it's beginning to look a lot like spring.
I know. I can feel it in my eyes and my nose. I'm suffering a lot from the spring hay fever. Is it spring fever?
And they say that it's not officially spring in Wisconsin until Robin gets two snows on his back. And I think the Robins have had many a snow. There was like 3 inches, 4 inches in Green Bay this past weekend.
Wow. Over to you in sports. Like, what?
Was I saying
you
that?
You sounded like such a weather guy.
Was I? Yeah. There was 3 inches in Green Bay this weekend, and tomorrow night we've got partly sunny skies.
With a high of 80.
Yeah, I know. We have an awesome little giveaway here, by the
way.
Yes,
we do.
Gilbert was nice enough to load us up with a bunch of stuff from the Gilbert Brown Foundation, and also just a few different charities he's working with, and a few different cool things. So, during this podcast, or I guess the social videos from this podcast that we post on Instagram,
Facebook or Instagram, if you're like, that's where we have the most people seeing us. So if you comment on our social video on Facebook or Instagram, find us at CripesCast.
You are entered to win.
Yes.
A package, from Gilbert Brown. It's so nice to send this stuff over. So we have a Dorsey Levens jersey. We've got a Winters jersey. We've got a Gravedigger jersey. We've got a Jones jersey. And we're going to send out 6 different packages of these jerseys in addition to, and they're all signed jerseys, signed Packers jerseys. All right. So in addition to the jerseys, we are giving you 2 tickets to the 2023 boat tour. That's October 6th. And it's going to include Gilbert Brown, Santana Dodson's going to be there, Dorsey Levens, Frank Winters, Tyrone Williams, Doug Evans, and more. All these guys are going to be there. It's going to be a ton of fun. We are, in addition, going to give you camping gift certificates to any Waco campground that they got out there. You just mention the gift certificate when you're making your reservation. You get $100 off. You present the gift certificate when you get there. It's awesome. Great way to see Wisconsin, honestly, is to camp or to get out there with your RV or whatever. And really cool. I mean, these gift certificates will help with, you know, the campground fees and all that. So there's no better way to experience Wisconsin than being outdoors. And shout out to Gilbert Brown and the Gilbert Brown Foundation for making this stuff happen. Just so you guys know, the Gilbert Brown Foundation supports over 156 charities in Wisconsin. The money that's raised in Wisconsin stays in Wisconsin. They're a 501c3, and their team works so hard to put this and all the events, no administrative costs. Check it out. They've got the 2023 Legends Weekend, which I'm also just letting everybody know about, but that's a great event if you're looking to just see all these great Packers and support Gilbert Brown and Gilbert Brown Foundation and everything he does for this state. And that's really what I like about Gilbert is such an interesting guy, such a funny dude, In this podcast, we talk about everything from his car collection to the whole Aaron Rodgers saga that was going on at the time of the interview, and a whole lot more. But Gilbert, you know him as the Gravedigger. That was one of the celebratory dances I used to do on the playground. So
What, like kickball or foursquare?
No, football. I was playing football on the playground, Colleen. Yeah, I was a badass footballer on the playground. I could launch the ball. Yes, it was a Nerf ball, but I could really get it going. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now. We are getting to my conversation with Gilbert Brown. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. It's been a minute. I'm trying to think the last time I saw you. Probably at that Packer game. Probably at that.
Yeah.
That, what was it? Who were they playing then? Tennessee?
Yeah.
That was back, I think I was saying we were going to the Super Bowl that night because we just got off that Cowboys run. And of course, I say we, like, you know, I'm on the team, you know, because that's just how I do that.
We are on the team. We all on the team. We're still
Thank
on the
you.
Team.
So we got radio shows on the same channel now. That's the deal, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's a pretty smooth deal.
Well, let's like jump in. Into this, why don't we talk about your radio show and like just so people know right away when it is and where they can find you and everything and what the show's concept is and everything.
Okay, we got to talk a little Aaron Rodgers too because that's the elephant in the room.
Well, we're gonna get to the Aaron Rodgers. I just immediately off the top off the top and off the bottom. I want people let people know where they can listen to you. And then right. I have many Aaron Rodgers questions, especially with your experience as a Packer.
Now, so, yeah, I don't know the call numbers to the stations or anything like that. Oh. I just know that I'm on Mondays at 8, but I don't know the call numbers or anything like that.
That's cool. What's the show about?
The show is the Earl Ingram Show. The Earl Ingram Show. But my segment is called Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Comes on Mondays, 8 a.m. drive time. We done had several guests, you know, George Kuntz and Santana Dotson, those old Packer dudes. And, you know, there'll be many more surprises and different things. But it's a really good show because, you know, we just sit around, talk a little football, talk a little life, you know, try to get away from all the crazy politics and different things, man, just try to make people laugh as they go in. I know I can't make them laugh like you can, but try to make them laugh before they go in on Monday.
Yep. No, that's not true. Yeah, I'm sure you can make them, like, you know, sometimes I can't make them laugh at all. So, you know, that's how that goes too. You know, it's hit and miss on the laughs, you know? So, all right.
Really?
Well, laughs, it's tough, man. Well, the nice thing with radio is you don't always feel it immediately if you can't make them laugh. It's not like doing, you know, a couple jokes in a club and having them bomb hard, you know? And then you know right away that it didn't make anyone laugh. So that's the tough thing about doing stand-up versus radio. But cool.
I always wanted to ask a stand-up comedian, how long... You know, a lot of them do hours. What's the perfect time limit? What's the perfect time limit?
You know, I think it depends. So a minimum, like if you're booking a live show as a comedian, usually a club or a theater would say the absolute minimum is 45 minutes. And that's if you're headlining, 45 minutes is a minimum. Usually it's an hour, hour 15, something like that. But you have an opener. So somewhere around an hour, hour and a half is kind of the mean. But if you're doing like, if you're just working material out, you'll go in there and you'll do 15 minutes at like a showcase type show. Like when I was doing the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, when I was first starting out, trying to figure it all out, I would do 10 minutes or 8 minutes rather. So sometimes you just go up and do 8 minutes and that's it, you know? And they got a whole show of a lot of people doing 8 minutes. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, I watch everybody, and everybody got their different styles and different things. And I just got done watching the Chris Rock special on Netflix. And I was just like, okay, all them people just showed up for an hour? I know something else got to be going on.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting, right? Because if you're going to... So basically, probably what happened there is he had an opener or two openers, an opener and a feature. So when you're doing a theater show with something that big, like in the Chris Rock special, that's usually 75 minute to 90 minute minimum on time. So usually the headliner does an hour and then you get two other comics, an opener and a feature. Goes opener first, then feature, then headliner. So three comics, and they fill in about an hour and a half. But it's not much more than that. Because, you know, the thing is, if you're sitting there for longer than that, you kind of get tired, you know?
Right.
If it's good. You get tired from laughing or bored because it's not funny, you know? But that's kind of the sweet spot, really. Got to get you out to a show or something. You know, next
I would love
to
come check you out, man. Let me be the opener or the feature.
Have you ever thought about doing that? Doing stand up yourself? No, why you're asking?
My mama would kill me the things that come out my mouth.
No. Well, you know, yeah. But even let's say you could do like 15 minutes of something your mom could be proud of. Would you still do it or no?
Yeah, I could do that. I don't know how many people would laugh, but I could do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Think about it, you know?
Yeah. I'm more of, if I would, it'd be more of a kind of physical comedy type thing, you know what I'm saying? Or making fun of myself would be probably the main thing.
Yeah. A lot of self-deprecating humor. That's always that's always the way it goes, you know? By the way, are you a big Batman fan?
Oh, I'm a big superhero fan, period.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody, either they DC or Marvel. I'm kind of like, I'm in the middle. I love DC. I love Marvel. I love all kinds of superhero stuff. I even got cars that got superheroes on them.
You got cars with superheroes on them?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
What kind of car?
It's a van. You know, like I have a 1972 Dodge Tradesman that I got all decked out Marvel versus DC.
No way. Hang on. I'm looking up exactly what the Dodge Tradesman is. Is that one of those? I'm just going to look at it. Tradesman 72. I got to get the
old
year
school.
Right. 72. Dude.
Short body.
Yeah. How many seats are in that thing?
My head has no window.
No windows.
No, I got it. I gotta see your picture, man. It's a bed in the back. I got two chandeliers.
Oh, wow. So do you travel with it and like camp? Or is this like a limo type thing?
I just put it in some shows and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I won a couple trophies. You know, it's pretty cool, man. I got superheroes all over the walls, and it's a bad machine, man.
That's cool. So why'd you choose the 72 Dodge Tradesman? Is there something from growing up that you remember that car, or you just found a deal on it? Or
yeah, my dad used to work for Chrysler. So we done had Chrysler, Mopar, in our blood, you know what I'm saying? And when we were growing up, my dad would, we would all get in the car and go down to West Virginia. That's where my dad was from, Beckley, West Virginia. So he always had a van, and my uncle would have a van, and they would be in the competition of who's looked better, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of grew on me. So now I actually have three vans. I have a 72, I have a 75, and I have a 67.
All tradesmen.
67 is the one with the bug eyes in the front.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 67 is the one with the bug eyes in the front.
Yeah, kind of like the old school VW vans, right? Volkswagen vans, similar to that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm looking at that now.
What was so really cool about it was
That's a cool ass car, dude. I'm looking at. I gotta see your cars. You gotta send me some pictures of your cars.
Oh yeah, I see some. What was cool about those vans was, it could be cold outside. Let's say you broke down somewhere or something, and it has a doghouse on it. You take the doghouse on it. Actually, you can work on the engine inside of the car, inside of the van.
Really?
Which is cool. The 67, the engine is kind of like in between the seats though. But my engine's so big in the 67, it's in the back.
Oh, really? But it's like cool. It's taken up like car. You can't work on that one. You can work on the 67 inside the car as well.
Yes, but it's behind the seats.
Okay. So you pop up the seats. So those seats probably get pretty warm.
Yeah, yeah. It's that's the first version of heated seats.
Just put them over the engine.
Yeah.
I had an 82 Volkswagen Rabbit, little stick shift diesel, and I drove that thing all around Wisconsin, and then I brought it back, and then somebody was like, what'd you do with that? That thing's a death trap. Because apparently the gas tank was so low or something that it could easily like puncture and explode. And I was like, I drove that all around the state. But I imagine that being something like those. There was probably, with that engine right below the seats, there was probably some stuff going on back then, you know?
Yeah. I don't think they'll approve it now, but back then it was cool, you know?
That's how you heat those seats. That's great. So what got you into collecting cars, your dad being a Chrysler guy. You grew up in Detroit, yeah?
Yes, Detroit, the Motor City.
Motor City. And how big was your family?
I had three brothers, two sisters.
Three brothers, two sisters. Okay. Yep. So doing the math, five kids. And then your mom, what'd your mom do?
My mom was doing, oh man, she did all kind of stuff, man. Just to keep everything afloat from cleaning buildings to working at a hospital to doing everything, trying to feed five kids that look like me, man. It ain't easy, man. But she always made it work, man. She always made it work.
That's awesome. And you know, you growing up, did you have dreams of being a football star, you know, Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packer growing up, or was that not your thing? Were you a Lions fan?
He almost made me throw up. No.
So you were never a Lions fan. Never a Lions fan.
Never. Never a Lions fan. Never.
I mean, I believe that. It's tough to be a Lions fan.
I was a Eric Dickerson fan. So whatever team Eric Dickerson was on was my team.
Why him?
Oh man, he was just like a stallion, man. Just 6'2", just a horse. You know what I'm saying? Just powerful. And you know, all the fat guys back in the day, we always wanted to be running backs, but we never could. So it was kind of like I was living my dream through him. You know what I'm saying? But me personally, man, I never played Little League football. I started in high school. You know, I'm a devout mama's boy. You know what I'm saying? I love my mama to death. You know, she used to, if she cooking pies and cakes, I was the first one there to taste it. You know, I'm going to be there. And my brother one day came up to me. I was going into high school and he said, hey man, you need to stop. You need to get your big butt out here. And you too big to be sitting in this house doing nothing. So I owe my career to my brother for making me get out there. And when I got out there and I started running the game and liking it, I told my mom at age 14, we were sitting on the porch and we was watching cars. She was tired. She did all the work. And I said, you know what, mama? I'm going to be a professional football player. I'm going to buy you a big old house and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And after that, and my mom was like, yeah, sure, baby. But for me, that was a goal that I was not going to miss out on. I put those blinders on. There was a lot of stumbles and bumps in the road, but as soon as I made it, first thing I did was go out there and buy my mama that house.
Did you? How'd that feel?
Oh man, felt the world to me because my travels didn't get it to where I I was a third round pick to some other team. I just like not saying their name.
We won't talk about that at all. We won't.
Thank you. But I poured everything I got into getting that my mama that house. And when I got to Green Bay, when I eventually got to Green Bay, I was living in a little old apartment called, what was that apartment called? I want to say it was called Dutchman's Creek. I don't know if it's there now or not.
Okay.
But that was my first, that was my first home in Green Bay. But I loved every minute because I know mama was living like a hog over there in Detroit.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's that. That's like, you know, getting to the NFL. A lot of people think, you know, you get there and then winning the Super Bowl is the dream, but it sounds like you accomplished your dream as soon as you bought that house, which is cool.
Yeah, that was my main objective, man, was to get that done and not alone helping out my brothers and sisters and doing different things. It's kind of like, if I made it, we all made it type thing. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What did your mom say to you when you got her that house?
Well, see, it was a little tear in her eye, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm going to tell y'all right now, my mama can go hunting for bears with a switch now.
She's that.
Yeah, she don't play, man, but she really let me know, which I knew it warmed my heart because she really let me know how much she appreciated it. But then again, you know, when you growing up, you can't, the things your mom did to you to make you out to be the person you are today, you didn't understand it at the time.
Mm-mm.
But you understand it now because in Detroit, man, we had a big old gate, you know, and my mama made us stay behind that gate. We couldn't go outside that gate. So the kids, it was a show on a Canadian thing called the Cell Block H Kids. I don't know if you ever
remember. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody in the neighborhood was calling us the Cell Blocks H Kids because
you're sitting there at the gate.
Yeah. I said, well, I tell you what, you come over here and I'll whoop you. Come over here now. But at the time you didn't understand it, but now I do because nobody's on drugs and everybody's upstanding human beings.
Yeah, nobody got looped into that. It was she did good job, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
So are your siblings all still around? What are they up to?
Yeah. My brothers and sister, I lost one brother to breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And yeah. And I always preach and try to tell guys about going in every 6 months and getting your physical, man, because you never know when your time is up. And I got so mad at him because he had a growth on his chest for 2 years and didn't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? And breast cancer is real in men too, man. So, you know, if you got an opportunity, please go get your 6 month check.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's, I honestly didn't know, you know, guys could even get that really. I suppose logically I thought about it long enough, but yeah, it is. It's always like, you know, years burn by quick and nobody wants to go to the doctor, but it's an important thing. Well, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. But everyone else is hanging out, doing the thing.
Everybody else is good. I mean, my father passed away when I was going into my senior year of college, you know. He was congestive heart failure and all that stuff. And that's why I try not to be so big today. You know what I'm saying? Because it's hereditary in our family, high blood pressure and diabetes and all that stuff. So, and people see me today, they be like, man, you ain't like you used to be. I said, thank God I ain't like, cause really, I ain't got to choke nobody no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I need to get under so I could hang around for my kids, hopefully, and they won't be at 19 looking for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. That is a tough. What was it like losing your dad at such a young age? You know, when you've got, at this point, you're doing great over at Kansas, right? Like you started every season. It looks like NFL coming your way, and then you lose your dad. I mean, what did that throw you off your game? Did it motivate you more?
It did. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was going into my senior season. I was the number one, kind of like in the number top five. I'm put top five defensive tackles in the country. And one that played with me was in the top five, Dana Stubblefield, went to San Francisco. And that year, my father passed away. I was driving back from Detroit to go to Kansas. So if you ever look at the 92 Kansas, you know, when they sit you on the bleachers and take that picture, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not in that picture because I had an accident on the way back to Kansas, and they thought I was just trying to hide from not doing the running test, which is stupid. So I did that, and they put me on like fourth team. Now I'm top five guy, and they put me on fourth team. They want to try to punish me, you know what I'm saying, and put me in a three-man rotation and all this other stuff. So I had to battle through all that, man. I was slipping in the draft and all that stuff. Didn't tell me about it. They didn't tell me till 2 days I had to be at Senior Bowl. So I was a day or two late getting there. They was just running me through the ringer, man. But eventually, you know, I said, you know, I wasn't a first-round draft pick, third round, but I'm going to make it work. So every time you put me on the field, I'm just crack somebody's head. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty passive aggressive of them, you know?
Yeah. Well, they had three defensive tackles that was awesome. It was myself, okay, Dana Stubblefield, and Chris Mamalonga. He went to the Giants. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
So they can have a three-man rotation. So they can play with me how they want. Even though if it wasn't for me coming to the University of Kansas, they would never would have got those guys because I'm the one opening the floodgates for everybody to come in. They'll say, "Oh, you got that number one." Because I was in the gym and I told Michigan and Michigan State, "Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna go to Kansas." They looked at me like, "Fool, where are you going?" Kansas. Yeah. And so, you know, because I wanted a challenge, man. I told myself, you know, not long about my mama, I also told myself, "I'm gonna get to a bowl game." And we eventually did my senior year.
So at that point, I mean, you know, you grow up in Detroit, you would think that Michigan or Michigan State would be the natural thing. So I don't know what the college football was like in those days. Were those teams, they were good back then, weren't they, or weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Michigan was in the top hunt. They was they had Bo Schembechler back then, and they was always in the top 10. But I knew Kansas told me, they said, "Hey, man, you got an opportunity to start if you come here." I know at Michigan, they normally put you on the shelf for a year, redshirt you or something, let you develop more. And Minnesota, I went to Minnesota. I don't know why I wanted to go to Minnesota. I wanted to go to be a Golden Gopher. I don't know why. But once I got there, they put us in a room, right? And I had a homeboy there. He was about just as big as me. And we sitting in this dorm room, and I'm telling myself, I said, "Man, one of us fart, we going to die in this thing." My God. But then they messed up, and they said, "Oh, you will look good at offensive guard." I'm like, no. They made my decision for me. I'm going to Kansas. So
yeah.
It's pretty cool, man.
So, and in Kansas, this is where the iconic Gravedigger celebration dance comes in, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's you know, we used to love, see, I've been fighting purple all my life. You know, Kansas State is purple, Minnesota's purple, you know, I just don't, you know, so we was out and my mom came down to a game, right? So I'm out there and we playing, and I said, "You know, you gotta show out for mama, you know." So I said, I got to come up with something. So the first time I ever did the Gravedigger, I believe it was against Kansas State, and I made a sack. And I got up and I did it, but what happened was I swung my leg up too high. So I fell on my back, you know, as I did it. And out of 52 of 60,000 people, all I heard was my mama laughing her ass off. And I said, "Oh, my God."
Oh.
I ain't gonna ever do this again. I ain't gonna ever do it again. So finally, when I got to Green Bay, I did it again and it stuck.
So you only did it one time in Kansas? Really?
Yep.
Were you nervous doing it your first time in Green Bay? Thinking you might fall?
You know what? I didn't think about it because it was such, I can't remember if it was against, it was a rivalry game. And I was just so amped up. I didn't even know I did it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was just so fagged up, man. Because, you know, you got to understand something, Charlie, man. It's for real. When you out there at Lambeau Field and you get that, and I get down in my stands, you don't hear nothing. You don't. All you see is the man. If you're a true player of the game, all you see is the guy in front of you. You can see his breath if it's cold out there. You can hear him breathing. You can look back behind him and see the running back. He may look your way. Because I had that dark visor on, so I'm looking at everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if the running back gonna look at my hole, because he got to look at me because he know I'm going to tattoo his ass. Yeah. So if I'm sitting there looking and I look and I see him looking at me, I say, oh, here he come, baby. Here he come. So it's that tunnel vision. That's for real, man. And then after you make the play, then you hit a fan go, ah. I said, God, dog, that's for real. It's for real, man.
Yeah. It all floods in. All the fans sort of flood in afterwards. Yes. Man, I remember watching you. You know, I had your jersey. My sister stole it actually from me, which is is terrible, but that's a right. whole other story. But you were just so like that black visor. What went into the decision of that? Cause you looked like a superhero out there. You know, you looked like a villain almost, like the guy you don't want to mess with, you know, a superhero for us, but for the Vikings, for the Bears, you looked like such a badass. And I think that black visor was a cool part of that. What went into you getting that? Cause not a lot of people had that thing.
No, I think everything I did was for purpose. You know what I'm saying? I had that big neck roll on. It wasn't just for looks because I knew every time I pounded, I need to have something for my head not to, you know, go back. That I had the visor on because back in college, and I wore it in Kansas too, I used to get poked in my eyes a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I kept getting poked in my eyes and I started getting migraines too. So the thing was to stop the poking in the eye, and the tent was because to keep the light out of my eyes so I wouldn't get migraines. But then again, that whole look became menacing in college, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to, in college, I looked the same thing, I just different colors, you know what I'm saying? But in college, I had the antennas on my helmet, so I was like, I'm focusing in on to knock somebody out, you know what I'm saying? And going against certain guys, you know, like, because like the coach that's just went to the Washington, Eric Bieniemy. You know what I'm talking about? He just got the job, left Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
He was a hell of a running back at the University of Colorado. So we had classic battles between him and Cordell Stewart and those type of guys at Colorado, you know what I'm saying? So you have to be menacing to go up against those guys. So it's kind of like how Mike Tyson used to be. You know, he going to talk you out the fight before you get to the fight.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying?
Oh, he gonna make you look at him and go, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? I gotta deal with this guy, right? So I wanted that aura, but then again, I wanted to back it up too. So I think I did that in my play. I believe one time I remember we used to beat the snot out of San Francisco. I used to love whooping on them, right?
Yeah.
And I looked one time and they got a guy by the name of Steve Grogan. He was like 6'8", like 400 pounds, you know what I'm saying, at the time. And he was an offensive tackle. So, you know, we looking at the thing, scouting, reporting, everything. Then we get to the game, they break the huddle, and he's at guard. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, hey, man, you ain't supposed to be down here. You're supposed to be over there. And he was kind of, in so many words, they brought me in to block you. God, I said, you know what? He big. I'ma just keep pounding him till he relent, cause I ain't giving up. And that's just the heart of a Green Bay Packer, man. We never quit. We never quit.
What's your best memory as a Packer?
I know it's hard to pick one, man, but my best memory to me that made me feel awesome was to watch Reggie run around with that trophy.
Oh, yeah.
That was because he that's all he talked about, man. That's, you know, it was what he wanted. And we wanted to get it for him, not for just ourselves, but for him, man. You know what I mean? And And it was just so awesome to see him run around with that trophy, man, and to be like a kid in a candy store. It was, it, people don't realize, man, we would come out the Super Bowl and they introduced the defense, which shocked me because offense ruled the world around here. You know what I'm saying? Brett Favre and all the pretty boys, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
They introduced the defense. And right before we went out, Reggie called us over, and I don't know if it's some film out there. And we were sitting there, and he said, you know what? Just me, him, Santana, and Sean, the D line of doomsday right there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, we got to go out there and we got to take over the game. Let's take it in our hands to take over the game. And then we formed to get back in line. What he said to me, man, and then going out, getting ready, you see all those lights? I was crying like a little kid under my helmet. You couldn't tell, but I was crying like a little kid in my helmet because I was like, thank you, God, for getting us here. Thank you, God, for letting me be in front of this great human being. And thank you, God, for giving me the strength to go out here and whoop somebody's ass. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's so funny, dude, thinking about that helmet, that visor, and there's tears in your eyes, you know.
Yeah, man.
That's a good thing, though. You can't see where you're looking, can't see if you're crying, you know. Folks, real quick, once I'm going to need you to say if you're just tuning in now, I am Charlie Behrens. You are listening to the Cripes Cast, and this is my conversation with Gilbert Brown. What kind of an inspiration, you bring up God too, and Reggie, you know, obviously being a pastor himself and such a man of God, what influence maybe did he have on you and the team spiritually?
God, Reggie was a human being that you just fell in love with. You know what I'm saying? He didn't push it on you. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to push it on you, but he would say stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would walk through the locker room and say, hey, guy going to put in that videotape. He going to play it. It depends on what you put on that videotape when he when he call you up there. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go to the gates and they're going to send you downstairs now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just, but he was so funny, man. It was, and he had the knack of being a true leader. I mean, the first time we went up to play Frisco in 95, nobody gave us a chance to win. And he made all of us sit down as a defense and watch tape. We going to figure out how to beat these guys because they was a juggernaut. Who they had? Jerry Rice, all them boys. You know what I'm saying? Yep, Ricky Waters and stuff. And we figured out that all we got to do is be physical. Just be physical. Just be relentless. Don't. And Reggie led the charge, man. So having him, and it's funny how being a leader, I mean, one time we was in Arizona, it was so hot, man. I was melted. I swear, I if you stand next to me, you was going to smell bacon. That's how hot it was out there, dog. So I'm sitting there, right? And I'm burning up, man. And I got my hands on my knees and I'm tired. And I look down the line and there go Reggie, standing there, tall, with his hands on his hips. I said, God, dog. So I had to stand up tall, put my hands on my hips. But that's called leading by example, too, man. You don't have to lead by running your mouth. You can also lead by example because you want to be like greatness. You know what I'm saying? The first time I got to Green Bay, Reggie White walked through the locker room, and I stuck to him like a sponge, man, because I wanted to be like that. I don't care what you say, what you do, because I know that, to me, he's the best defensive lineman to ever put his hand in the dirt, period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, when you follow that and when you sort of follow in his footsteps like that, were there times where, like, you screwed up and he let you know it? And if so, how did he let you know it?
He didn't. If you messed up, because I think that, he remembered back in Philly, he looked at me like he looked at Jerome Brown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Back in Philly. Jerome Brown passed away, by the way. God rest his soul. But he was an awesome nose tackle that pushed the rat. We call the quarterback the rat. You know what I'm saying?
The rabbit. Okay.
If I don't push the rabbit out of the hole, Sean and Reggie don't eat. I got to push the rabbit out the hole so they can eat.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, all he going to do is sit in the pocket and let the guys block for him. I got to push the rabbit out the hole. So that's when people tell me, why you only had 7 sacks your whole career? Number one, I was a pretty awesome sack dude in playoff time. They just don't record that, number one. Number two, I got Reggie White over here with 200 sacks. I got Sean Jones over here with like 140 sacks. Santana Dotson right here with almost 100 sacks. How in the hell I'm going to get 1 sack? So my job was to chase the rabbit out of the hole and get the and stop the run. That was my job. Fritz Shermer. I love him to death. Awesome defense coordinator, and he used to call us 3 oaks and a stump. So I'm trying to figure out, like, so Fritz, who's the stump, man? You know what I'm saying? Because I was the shortest defensive lineman we had at 6'2.5". Everybody else, Sean was like 6'8". Santana like 6'5", Reggie like 6'5", 6'6". So here I come in at a measly 6'2.5", but I was a bad man. I was a bad man.
So you were the stump, though.
Right. Yeah, I ended up being the stump, right.
So that's your sort of favorite memory. What of, like, roughly on the field, Reggie running around with the trophy. Do you have any funny off the field stories with some of your buddies, or anything that comes to mind, good memory like that?
Well, most of the stories I can't say on the radio.
I figured.
Or on the thing, I don't want to get nobody in trouble. But I can tell you this, though. Back at Super Bowl, we had the number one offense, the number one defense, and the number one special teams across the board. And we as a defense was getting tired about how everybody talking about the offense, how great they are, how good Brett Favre is, how awesome is Edgar Benning and Dorsey Levins and all these guys, right? So we sit up there like, what about us?
Yeah.
What about the guys where every time this clown Brett Favre throw these interceptions, we got to go out there and get it back. What about us, right? So we used to get pissed off. So you know how you if you got a brother, you got that sibling rivalry, you know what I'm saying? We don't fight sometimes, but at the end of the day, we love each other, you know?
Yeah.
I think Mike Holmgren capitalized on that. So every Thursday, see, y'all miss the best games ever. Every Thursday, it would be ones versus ones in certain situations.
Uh-huh.
The only thing you couldn't do was don't touch Brett Favre. If you touch Brett Favre, we got an apple on the roadmap, and then you out the door.
Oh, wow.
They don't care who you are. But everybody else was full go. So now we get to hit the pretty boys. We get to hit the pretty boys in the Dorsey 11. I get to beat the snot out of Frankie Winders now. Yes, it's awesome. And I'm telling you, man, and I'm telling you, it was the most competitive because Brett would get us sometimes, and then we would get Brett and them sometimes. Leroy was a master. Butler was a master. He would call the play out. We didn't care what else was out. We run into that play. You know what I'm saying? And then Brett would see that. So them two playing a chess match, we all the little pawns and things, you know. But they going back and forth. It was so. But I'm gonna tell you this: on Sunday, after you just went up against the number one offense, how in the hell is the Chicago Bears gonna do something?
Well, they're not.
They're not. How in the hell is Minnesota gonna do something? Because we just went up against the number one offense in the league. Now we about to beat the snot out of y'all on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what got us so ready, so hyped, man. So there was the fun times that you guys missed, because sometimes we can't say who did what, but we know who the real champs were. we can't tell y'all.
Yeah. If only they filmed those, that would be great.
Oh, my God. There's some film somewhere. They just won't release them.
Is there in the vaults at Lambeau Field somewhere? I'll have to go find that. I'll have to go find that. So now we're going to fast forward a bit to Packers today. What's going on with the Rodgers situation? What's your hot take on that?
You know what, man? I love Aaron Rodgers. I do. I consider him a homeboy. I consider him a friend. And fans got to learn that they got to let go. They got to let go. He gonna be back. He gonna be back. He gonna retire as a Packer. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But right now, we gotta let him go. We all gotta get on the Jordan Love train. The Love train. Love train. You gotta get on the Jordan Love train, man, because I look at what they're doing upstairs and at 1265. We gotta push him away. He has distracted this team so much. We got to let it go because now we got to get our quarterback ready.
Yeah.
Now we got to get our, we got to get the pieces. See, a lot of guys restructured their contract thinking that this fool was going to come back.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Green Bay Packers ain't going to get that money back to these guys, Aaron Jones, Bakhtiari, all these guys that restructured because they restructured to free up money so they can get help for Aaron Rodgers so we can make another run. They didn't do that. So now he's holding up the process of going through the Jets. Well, we won the first round, this, that, another. We got to make sure we got to free up this money. Man, let him go. Whatever it is you can get for him, let him go. Let's get our boy ready to go with the ammunition because behind the scenes, the Jets done signed Lazard. Yeah. I heard they signed Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, God.
So they getting their stuff together. Your boy from Dallas is running around talking about he might go to the Jets. Ezekiel Elliott. They really? Might have a powerhouse team over there. Yeah. And we're still sitting over here messing around, waiting till he leave, letting all these great because we need some veterans on this team. And we got too many young guys.
Yeah.
And if you remember going to win the Super Bowl, we had veterans like Reggie White, different guys like that. When they went back in, what was it, 2010?
Yeah.
They had veterans like Charles Woodson and different guys like that. You got to get those bona fide veterans in there to help take the heat off of Jordan Love, man.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, for a young, I mean, this is similar, obviously, to the whole Brett Favre situation, the transition there. Do you see, and you obviously had a very in-depth knowledge of Brett Favre and, you know, the upstairs management or whatever you want to call it then. Do you see parallels between this and that, or is this a completely different situation?
You know what, man? Quarterbacks are sensitive. They are real sensitive, man. I mean, how are you going to get mad because they drafted another quarterback?
You're right.
How you going to get mad about that? Man, did I get mad when they drafted Santana or when I got Santana Dotson or when I got somebody to play behind me that they probably think it was going to take over for me? No, that's the law of the jungle. Mm-hmm. How you going to get mad about that? You know what I'm saying? No matter how good he is, you got to be confident in your game.
Yeah.
So I don't care who you get. I'm still the dog of the house. This is my yard. You got to come in my yard and take it from me. You see what I'm saying? Yep. And then again, this is what blows my mind, though. And it's two things, like I said, about Brett Favre, for instance. He went to the Minnesota Vikings. At the end of the day, went to the Jets and Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I love me some Brett. I love him to death. But when he went to the Vikings, I did not cheer for him. I wanted everybody to take his head off. To this day, when I played pool, there's a purple four ball on the table. I hit that ball first. I'm hitting it first, dog.
Even if you're stripes, you're hitting that one in.
I'm going to tear it up, man. But you can understand, and it's kind of like I try to tell people, the Green Bay Packer organization, let's say it's a car. Mm-hmm. You got either Mike Murphy or Gutekis, whatever his name is.
Yeah, close enough.
Driving the car, okay? Do you get, and this car just hit somebody, okay? Do you get mad at the car, which is the organization, for the best organization in the world, or do you get mad at the driver?
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at it like that. You see what I'm saying? So then I get up here, and then we switch to Aaron Rodgers. How in the hell can you say I am arguably the best Green Bay Packer ever? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is what I love him, but this is where if he was standing next to me, I'd slap him.
Yeah.
Because how could you say that? That's just like, if I was a senator, I'd be getting death threats in my email. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How could you say that? Because if you look at the numbers of Brett Favre, you look at the numbers of Aaron Rodgers, they pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. The only thing Aaron got over Brett right now is the interceptions. Number one. Number two, Brett had two Super Bowl appearances. Aaron Rodgers only had one.
Yeah.
Bart Starr, before they took championships, turned into Super Bowl. They got 13 last time I checked.
Yeah.
Bart Starr got two Super Bowls last time I checked. I mean, you put all these, let's say you put Ray Nitschke, hell of a linebacker. Jerry Kramer, Leroy Butler, Reggie White, Brett Favre, put all these people in the bowl. Don Hutson.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Put all these people in the bowl, right? Now you're going to move all them names aside and you're going to pull out Aaron Rodgers? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
I actually didn't. Maybe I haven't been paying close attention. I didn't see he said that. When did he say that?
He said that on the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, really? See,
and he said, arguably, I'm the best Green Bay Packer of all time.
Well,
and that's not
we're
for
arguing
him to
about
say.
It.
That's not for him to say, though.
Right.
That's
no.
for the fans to say.
Yeah.
That's for your teammates to say. How can you? I mean, and you didn't do it by yourself, homeboy.
Right.
You did it with people that would die for you, just like you would die for them.
Right.
But you're better than them? Come on. Come on, man.
Yeah. No, I think that there's there's a lot of that ego in there that kind of gets in the way, you know.
Quarterbacks, man.
Quarterbacks. Folks, that's all the time we have for now. But if you want to listen to my full interview with Gilbert Brown, just check out Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow Gilbert Brown on Twitter. That's at Gilbert Brown. Follow the Gilbert Brown Foundation. You can just go to gilbertbrownfoundation.org. Check out some of the great stuff that they have rocking and rolling. And thank you all for listening. Follow us at Cripescast anywhere you get socials. Patreon.com/CharlieBarons. And Colleen, did I forget anything else?
If you have any other, I don't know, cripescast.com is our website. So if you have any inquiries, I don't know, go there.
Yeah, go there. If you have someone you think we should interview,
yeah.
If you have suggestions for the show, we'd love to hear it.
Leave reviews, leave comments. It really does help us. We've had quite a few guests that have been directed by fan suggestions. So this podcast is really about reflecting what people want to hear. So let us know what you're interested in, and we'll definitely take that into account and see what we can do about it.
Absolutely. And shout out to executive producer of the Cripescast, Kelly Maraca. Shout out to Hannah Milos for editing, doing such a great job every week, editing out the stuff that makes me look bad. I appreciate you, Hannah. And all of you, we love you so much. Keep her moving. Watch for deer.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving. Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving. Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving. Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving. Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving. Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane's sells flights of Himalayan sea salts, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at MaryJanesPantry.shop.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant.
Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the 6th season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.